Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just so you know, I play tennis, but I'm not a tennis player. While I eat food, I'm not a food eater. And even though I sleep every night, I'm not a sleeper. This is Wretched Radio. If you're perplexed, perhaps scratching your head, join the club. And yet, sadly, not enough people are scratching their heads. Approximately 3 weeks ago, I was sent a video of a local pastor filming himself with his cell phone, aimed the wrong direction, nevertheless, sharing his 3 prophetic dreams. And it initially had, when I saw it, about 20,000 views. Now, as we speak, 1.3 million views and all kinds of YouTube videos dedicated to sharing this pastor's supposed prophecies. And yet, even though he says he had prophecies, he's not a prophet. That should just be the start of your head scratching.
Because I believe, number one, they are prophetic. The first one that I had has come explicitly true based on the events of March through June. Month in which we're living. And I do not claim to be a prophet by any means. I understand, though, that some dreams and visions.
Wait a second. You have prophetic dreams.
Yeah.
But you don't consider yourself to be a prophet? How's that work exactly?
I do not claim to be a prophet by any means. I understand, though, that some dreams and visions by their nature have a prophetic tendency to them. But I do believe I've seen things.
Okay, sir. If you're having prophetic dreams, only prophets have prophetic dreams. What do we do with a video? You would never guess this would go viral based on its production. Nevertheless, a lot of people are responding to it concerned this guy has seen something from God. And he is starting to use apocalyptic language, including the Antichrist being alive today, and a lot of people are wondering, hey, did this guy really have prophetic dreams? Here's what you're about to hear from this pastor. He claims that these dreams were verified by other people. We don't get to see them or meet them, but nevertheless, he claims he told other people about these dreams that he had in December. Furthermore, he claims that these dreams, they're biblical. They're in alignment with the Bible. Question. If the Bible is sufficient, and it is, do we need more information? And he would respond and say, well, no, it's not more information. This is information. It's right in alignment with the Bible. Then I would ask, then why would we need these things? And that is where this buck should stop. And that is where the head scratching should end. An individual who claims to have prophetic dreams but doesn't call himself a prophet and then says all of these dreams, this is nothing outside of the Bible, then our response should be, then we don't need your dreams because it already is in the Bible and all we need to do is read it to know what is going to happen in the future. And what we know is going to happen in the future, it is revealed throughout the New Testament. The timing of those issues, no man knows the hour or the time. This fellow seems to hint, well, I kind of do.
Both that have happened, as relevant by the first dream that I had, and some things that I've seen recently. So you can take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. You can pray about it. You can think about it.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second here. He's telling me that I can kind of take or leave his prophetic utterances.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Moses? Hear, O Israel, but if you don't want to, look, just pray about it and think on it. Can you imagine Jonah making his way through Nineveh? Nineveh, Just something to chew on, maybe. I just spent a few days, I was in a fish, and God told me to tell you, think about this, I'm not sure exactly, but maybe you need to repent. That's not the way a prophet speaks. These either are or they are not prophetic utterances.
You can think about it, but I believe that I have a warning for the country.
What kind of a warning is that? Think about it, maybe, but I do think that I've got it. This is not the type of authority we would expect from a prophet, and I wouldn't expect it because this man isn't.
A warning for rural America, a warning for America overall. But here's what happened. Back in December, I woke up, I had a dream, and in that dream, I saw a calendar starting January 2020, and it was being flipped. And I saw January, I saw February, I saw March. And when March came up, the hand held it, and I saw the a finger underline the month of March.
Please note, this video was made last month. Now, what you do with that, you know, just think about it, just pray about it. I'm just saying, this guy had a prophetic dream after the fact. That's what I'm saying.
And then tap it three times. So underline the month of March, tapped it three times. So to me, it was emphasis. Something's going to happen in March.
To me, this is, now I'm interpreting a dream, which is always a bit of a trick, isn't it? Last night, I had a dream. I needed to get to my daughter's wedding. And I had to get my suit there. And it was getting stuffed into a suitcase. So what I think that that means is that the wedding of the Federal Department of Federal Things and the executive branch with Nancy Pelosi is going to be very wrinkled. That's what I think.
And then I saw April, May, June. And when June came, the hand underlined June again and tapped it three times. Then in the vision, I saw people marching. I saw protests. I saw people wearing masks. I saw lines going into hospitals.
Okay. This is very good. Okay. All right. Hold on. Tony?
Hmm?
I don't want to speak like a prophet.
But?
I believe that in the early 60s, there's going to be a young president I saw in a dream who was assassinated in Dallas. That's what I saw. So just want to let you know, I had a prophetic dream about that.
Yeah.
How convenient.
That's history.
I saw typical medical doctors with needles or syringes. I saw people on ventilators. I saw people who were very, very sick, very, very ill. I saw newspaper headlines trumpeting thousands of people getting sick. I saw ambulances just flying down roads.
Have we seen that, by the way, ambulances flying down the roads?
I mean, who hasn't?
Well,
in general?
It makes sure. I saw airplanes flying in the sky. Really? Tell us more.
And then I saw cities on fire. I saw buildings being burned. I saw protesters with masks.
Don't know if I share this with you, Tony. You can do with this as you see fit. I had a dream, and I saw a stock market tape. It's going up and down and up and down. Want to let you know I had that prophetic dream about the stock market.
I saw people who had their fists in the air, people who were yelling and screaming, angry at the world. I saw courthouses. I saw...
Okay, on and on it goes. 15 minutes. And it's all the rage. And people are concerned about this. This boils down to one word and one word only, sufficiency. Either the Bible is sufficient for all of life and godliness, or it is not. Either the Bible is everything that we need to know how to cope in our wonky era. Either the Bible is sufficient in every detail that it gives to us about the end times, of which no man knows the day or the hour, or it is not. Why do I need this fellow having a dream? Well, the reason that he recounts his dreams about what has already taken place is because he does start talking about the future. And while he doesn't say that Jesus is returning in November, he does start to talk very much like an individual who is saying, The sands are nearly run out of the hourglass. The time is just about here. Now, here's a question for you. Does that tell me anything the Bible doesn't already speak to? Doesn't the Bible make it clear that we should be living as if any second Jesus could be returning and we don't want to be a foolish virgin? We don't want to be caught, not ready for our master to return? Is there anything that we don't already know in the Bible that this fellow could tell us? This is for some reason, I'm telling you, the video, he's wearing a red t-shirt. You can see the drop ceiling above his. I mean, it's just, there's nothing to this. It doesn't even fill up the whole screen. And yet, people desperately wanting to hear a fresh word. Let me tell you about the Bible. It is as fresh as this morning's bakery at Publix. It is current. It is everything that we need. And the people who tend to fall into this trap are the people that need to be pointed toward the Bible and to be warned about individuals who claim they're not prophets, even though they have prophetic dreams, who claim to know when we might be near the end, and encourage them to avoid them. We have a much more sure word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
We get it. This new normal is, well, not yet normal. So if you're tired of surfing through whatever streaming services you have, then might I suggest checking out The Man Who Split Time. Imagine a man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? And what did he do to deserve such an unprecedented honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet to give to any skeptic or unbeliever who thinks that Jesus was just a mere mortal. Get your copies now at wretched.org/time and start giving them away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is waiting now at wretched.org/time.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. themissionball.org.
attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If and you want to know the future, you're going to have to read your Bible and wait. This is Wretched Radio, a video that's making the rounds, very popular, very people confused, some people getting downright scared. A local pastor from Middle America made a video about his supposed prophetic dreams, although he claims, even though they were prophetic dreams, he's not a prophet. Many people, they love what he had to say, because he claims that he saw dreams in December that really detail what's been going on in the spring and summer of 2020. And people are putting their trust in him. Why? When we have a Bible that already tells us everything. Furthermore, this fellow, when he goes about the business of telling us what he dreamt about the future, he has to interpret it for us. I think that it said what that meant to me, what I think that it might be saying, does that sound like a sure word? No, there is only one, the Bible. We don't need prophetic utterances. We need to read our Bibles right and understand it and apply it and be content with it. And yet, this is another pastor. It's taken off. This guy will now, I'm sure, hit the circuit. He'll become one of the big boys in the prophetic movement. And these are the types of videos, by the way, that America exports all over the globe. One of America's sadder exports is so much of evangelical Christianity of this sort, where we get dreams and visions and utterances and words. It so undermines the authority of Scripture, and out the door it goes, and it doesn't just stay in the U.S. of A. It makes its place. We hear from people everywhere. I heard from somebody this morning from India. This type of thing is going on in their country, in India, where I believe the Christian population is about 1%. So much of it is under the spell of this kind of teaching, which, by the way, if you have not considered supporting the Master's Academy International, they have mini seminaries, training centers around the globe in 17 countries now to teach pastors how to identify this type of nonsense and to rightly divide the word of truth. We get excited when we hear about the growth of global Christianity, and yet that sure does get tamped down when we understand so much of it is this type of teaching that we're going to hear from this pastor about dreams and visions and what's going to happen in the future. TMAI, it's a magnificent ministry. If you have not looked into it to support it, training pastors to fill empty pulpits all over the globe to rightly divide the word of truth, it is a magnificent ministry. You can learn more about it at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor, so that we find good men to train them rightly and to not fall sway to this fellow who's now going to tell us the future.
But I heard the voice say, part two. And I saw June go up. I saw July. I saw August. And then I saw September. And I saw the finger underneath the word September, and like emphasizing it, and tapped it three times.
What does that mean? Do you know what? What does that mean? It means the Mets are going to win three of their games against the Yankees. That's what that means. How do you know?
And then I saw October come up, and then I saw November, and this is when it got real to me in the dream. I think the intensity, according to my Fitbit, when I woke up, my heart rate was about 180. So that was Monday night.
Wow. This sounds really definitive.
It was also a night that I woke up not feeling very well at all. I was up during the night, not feeling well.
Maybe we have a connection to your dreams and how you are feeling.
Anyway, the minute the finger underlined November three times, instead of tapping it, I saw a fist ball up and it hit the calendar.
Ooh.
And literally, the calendar exploded into the wall. The numbers seemed like they were 3D and they were falling, they were just flying everywhere.
You know what that means, don't you? Yeah, me neither. So now the prophet with his prophetic dream has to give us a prophetic interpretation. Remember, prophets used to do a little something called signs and wonders. They used to be miraculous events. These were clearly attributed to the man. Why do I say that? So we can make the distinction in miracles. God still does them. God still heals people. But a sign and wonder was when a man said, "You're healed. Stand up. You can see." And it happened. Boom. A total, organic, complete healing on the spot. And everybody knew it's because of that guy. We better listen to what he has to say. I haven't seen any other videos from this pastor, but I don't think he's been doing those things. And it should cause you to say, why should I listen to you? Unfortunately, too many people are.
And there was a cloud of chaos that started. And then the next thing I saw was I saw armed protesters. I saw fighting in the streets. I saw people pummeling one another. I saw businesses shuttered and shut up. I saw schools closed. I saw schoolrooms with...
Now, here's a question. Will anybody remember this in November when he writes a book and becomes a bestseller? How do you verify this? How many schools need to be shuttered? How many protests do we need to see in the street for this guy to have any sort of credibility? That's the problem with these vague prophetic dreams.
Cobwebs hanging in them, and like things like papers falling off the wall and posters falling, like no one had been in them for months. I saw bank buildings with the roofs being taken off. And it looked almost like alien abduction because...
Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's just say you're the sort who is inclined to listen to a man like this. After all, it has over 1 million views. He seems earnest, like a totally pleasant fellow. He's probably married with kids and maybe grandkids. How afraid do you think they are? Listen to this. This is quite apocalyptic in nature. Do you think somebody who is perhaps prone to anxiety might be getting affected by this if they think it's true?
Money was just flying through the roof into some type of like a vacuum cleaner. That sounds kind of strange, but I was watching wealth just being taken.
Okay, now he'll be able to say, well, no, I didn't mean that literally. That was just figurative language because we know that's not going to happen.
I saw politicians in back rooms, making deals with people, patting people on the back and laughing and smiling and smirking. And I saw monuments. I saw Washington, D.C. burning.
Again, let's say you're somebody in Washington, D.C., and you're prone to believe this type of nonsense. Do you think maybe he's causing a little bit of angst?
I saw Washington, D.C. blazing. I saw fires everywhere. I saw people being
everywhere.
Rounded up. I saw Chinese and Russian soldiers.
Here we go. That would be your Gog and Magog, if I'm not mistaken.
On the ground. And Russian soldiers were telling the Chinese soldiers to go and pick up these people, round up these people.
Because they were bilingual, apparently. And he could translate the... No, they were speaking English. And so both the Russians and the Chinese... But in the dream, he could actually interpret the Russian because they were speaking Russian to the Chinese people who also understood... Russian.
Secure this quadrant. Secure this area. I saw blue helmets of the UN. I saw military things taking place.
Things.
I also saw no sign of President Trump. I saw no sign of leadership in Washington, D.C. But the vultures that I had seen were now like gargoyles, and they were 10 feet off the ground, 10 to 15 feet off the ground. And they were just attacking people mercilessly. I saw people hiding in their homes and garages.
And what are we supposed to do with all of this? And what is this going to accomplish? Where does this take us? All this can possibly do is cause people to have a great deal of anxiety or to make some really foolish financial decisions, perhaps uproot their families to Missoula they go, because they believed a guy in a red T-shirt in a video that doesn't even have the camera pointed in the right direction, telling about a supposed prophetic dream. This is the type of stuff, quite honestly, that not only undermines the sufficiency of Scripture doctrine, it makes us look downright silly. This is just foolishness. So one wonders, why do so many people believe this? Why are there so many people gobbling this up? Why are there so many people commenting, yes, yes, tell us more. Give us more prophecies. Help us to understand these things. People gobble this up because, sadly, perhaps the greatest problem in all of evangelical Christianity today, and there are enough of them that this could be debated, but it would be the problem of the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture, that it has everything we need for life and godliness, and we have end times events laid out for us as clearly as we need to know them in the book of Revelation. Why else would we be told these things? If this were not eschatological in nature, why would he be talking about these things, especially when he invokes Antichrist being alive today? If you're going to a church that embraces this type of teaching, I would encourage you, founders.org/church-search, and find yourself a church that believes in the sufficiency of Scripture. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, let's see what we've got in here, shall we? This, that, some other stuff. It's a wide world of Christian stories slapped together in no particular order and yet perfectly framed by a 50-year-old theme song.
Ah, those were the days. I was younger then.
This is Wretched Radio. If you love the political season, and what evangelical doesn't? It's a part of our credo, isn't it? You can just stop watching your cable TV right now. The election, it's an all but foregone conclusion. Start preparing to sing Hail to the Chief to President Kanye West. How do I know he's going to be your president? Well, God told him to run for president. So there you have it. It would be a done deal right there. I just gratefully suggest y'all bow out, Trump and Biden. Gracefully bow out. So you won't even have to watch those debates. Although that would be good theater, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Kanye's just asking him to step aside. God told him to run, so there's no point in competing, fellas. It's God's country. We're doing everything in service to God. Nobody but God, no more. I am in service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I put everything I got on the line to serve God. That would be from Forbes magazine. Kanye West, yes, for president in 2020. If you've been kind of wondering where Kanye might be going with his newfound faith, I think it's getting clearer now, isn't it? Quote, reinstate in God's state, in God's country, the fear and love of God in all schools, organizations, and you will chill the fear and love of everything else. So that was a plan by the devil to have our kids committing suicide at an all-time high by removing God, to have murders in Chicago at an all-time high because human beings working for the devil remove God and prayer from the schools. So prayer goes back into the schools. where we will have little children who don't even know who Jesus is praying. And things are going to get better. When I'm president, let's also have some fun, said Kanye. Let's get past all the racism conversation. Let's empower people with 40 acres and a mule. Let's give some land. That's the plan. Well, there you have it. Things are looking up for America. This might come as a bit of a surprise to you, but I don't know that we should want to get past the racism conversation, to be honest. There's clearly too much that needs to be dealt with. I don't think this can be, should be swept under the rug. If it does, all it can do is simmer for another season, and then it'll probably make its way out in an even more negative way. So I say, let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. But let's just make sure as we have those conversations, we're doing it biblically. Anything less is to aim too low. Received an email from Laura asking, can you state in a pithy way how I can explain to my church friends this social justice movement is a bad one? And it's hard, but I think we need to. I'm afraid we have to. If we cannot boil down what we consider to be the problems of what we are calling the social justice movement, then we probably don't know the issue well enough. If we can't articulate it in a sentence, then we probably have not really thought it through as clearly as we need to. And so I would say that there's a number of pithy things that would tell us this is a bad deal that we've got going into the churches. Starting with the law-gospel distinction, I do believe that this is the biggie. You'll recall with social justice movement, people were saying this is a gospel issue. This is a gospel. This is about the gospel. That is flat out wrong. It is not a part of the gospel. It can be an effect of the gospel, but it is a law to tell people to do justly. And so to the people who say this is a gospel issue, I would say stop right there. You're confusing the law and the gospel. So there's your pithy sentence. Social justice, as we understand it today, which is redistribution, is undermining the gospel. It twists and contorts the law and gospel distinction. That's number one. Number two. It divides people into unbiblical categories. Bible categorizes people as saved, lost, period. Not black, white, rich, poor, etc. Three, the gospel of Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. Social justice does not. Four, the solution for social justice, according to the social justice group, is not biblical. To force people to redistribute, that is not justice. In fact, that would be an injustice. The Bible wants us to help people because we want to help people because we've been helped so much. And so the solution of social justice is not biblical, and it is not helpful. And haven't we seen that? Oy, the pain and the division that is being caused by this. So make sure that if people ask you, you can articulate what is the problem with the social justice movement in a pithy way, because frankly, that's just about all the time and attention most people have. Back to our spanning the globe. Hey, here's a good one for you. Supreme Court says Catholic schools can dismiss teachers for religious reasons. Well, that's a switcheroo. Even John Roberts got this one. 7-2. Anti-discrimination laws do not apply to religious employment decisions. That's a pretty big deal if you happen to be a church or a school. Justice Sonia Sotomayor authored a dissenting opinion, being joined by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Enough said. She argued the decision strips thousands of school teachers of their legal protections. Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Does it?
What about the thousands that get stripped of their legal protections to run, you know, a ministry? That is, however, the danger. It is a danger, and it will be looked at, I'm sure, increasingly as the shifting sands continue to move around. 501c3 status, receiving any money from the government. Speaking of receiving money from the government, unbelievers aren't happy with this. You're familiar, perhaps, with the PPP program. This is the program that was designed to help people, businesses, and ministries keep people employed during the summer months when COVID was all the rage. Paycheck Protection Program. Well, it turns out some people tied to Donald Trump received millions of those dollars, and the unbelievers are squawking. This is a reminder, a connection to government, whether it was done rightly or wrongly, not the point. When we do get involved with the government in any way, shape, or form, speaking as the church, these days you can look forward to slapback. It used to be that we believed as a whole that religious organizations, as a rule, Jewish or Christian, basically good for the community. So let's have some advantages for them. They won't have to pay taxes. That will help them to thrive and do more good for more people. That attitude has totally, totally changed. And as long as we're speaking of politics, let's go to California. At least as of this moment, if you went to church on Sunday, we hope you enjoyed being silent. Being told by the governor of California, you can't sing and worship. Banning singing and chanting. 25% of guests, or just 100 worshipers, whichever is lower. So the restrictions in California, they remain in full lockdown mode, almost, there. And this is an issue. Local churches need some wisdom. I'm telling you, these are tricky situations. Remember, the principle is this. We obey government. Period. Unless they tell us to sin. So I guess it's not really a period. It's more like a comma. Acts chapter 5, if they tell us to sin, we don't have to obey. Is not singing in church a sin? I think we're getting much closer to a lot of churches going, sorry, governor, we're going to be singing this Sunday. You can't tell us to do that. I know, loving your neighbor, etc. This is every single one of these issues regarding COVID and the lockdown and masks and singing and distancing, it is constantly moving these days. And this is not that, and this issue isn't that issue. And we don't know if we're on a slippery slope or not. Nevertheless, it is taking the wisdom of Solomon for local pastors to know what to do. And with that thought in mind, no doubt you have a pretty certain set of opinions about all of these issues. One thing is absolutely clear. You've got different Christians making different decisions on different issues. And because these are, at least at this moment, I would suggest to you tertiary issues, not secondary issues, but tertiary issues. Please, let's have a lot of patience and love with one another on these things. Please, don't call names. Don't divide. Don't be throwing stones. And hopefully no stones will get thrown at you either. These are challenging issues. They can be viewed with all kinds of pre-understandings that warp our experiences and how we view these things. So let us disagree, but wow, let's do it like Christians, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And thanks for sending your questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks to idea@wretched.org. Got to share this one with you. I'm an 18-year-old in high school from Lubbock, Texas. I wanted to send a special thank you out to the whole Wretched organization and to Todd Friel for all y'all have done for my life and for my walk with Christ. I was converted at the age of 17 and was soon after introduced to Todd's videos on YouTube.
I remember watching street preaching videos all the way to videos on what Bible translation is the most trustworthy. These free resources helped me gain a greater understanding of God and the power of the Word. I thank you again, and I hope this message is encouraging and inspires you to keep advancing the kingdom of God. Signed, Peter. It is very encouraging, and we hope to continue doing just that. To share your stories, Beep Talk is 1-877-282-BEEP. Email idea@wretched.org. To partner with us, wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks. Basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the Word as early Christians seek to spread the Gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, case in point, right here. Sort of hot off the press, this is Wretched Radio. Our life experience influenced the way we interpret the Bible. And that's a bad thing. Our life experiences, what we consume, what's gone into our ears and our eyes and even our noses, where our feet have taken us, what we have lived, it is bound to influence the way you see Scripture and events and figure them out. Case in point. You're familiar with Jen Hatmaker, perhaps very popular in evangelical circles. It turns out this is just a perfect example of an individual who compromised her theology because of a life experience. Jen Hatmaker, a women's, I guess the term would be Bible teacher.
Speaker,
a woman's Christian speaker. She used to have the biblical line that God is very clear about the behavior of men and women regarding intimate issues, and that it shouldn't be two boys or two girls or groups or involve animals. That was her position a number of years ago. But this headline helps us to understand why recently she's come out to say, no, I'm actually okay with homosexuality now. Jen Hatmaker reveals her daughter is a lesbian, stating, I'm so glad that you're gay. On her podcast, quote, we are proud of who you are. I would not change one molecule of you, not one. I'm so glad you're gay. I'm so proud that you are free. I love that this is how you are made. I'm thrilled about your future. I've already told you what kind of wife I needed to marry, and I hope you follow my rules. Wow, that's a change. Why did she make a sudden shift like this? Because it turns out that her daughter is a lesbian. And so she's changed her theology. Please note, if you're inclined to say, well, that's just her, I'd never do that. Be careful, we can. That is probably one of the most consistent ways that people change their sound theological positions. They get soft because of life experiences. This is why it is actually dangerous to meet a false teacher, because they can be nice. Of course, they've got something charismatic, and I mean that in the small charismatic sense. There's something about them that must be attractive to people, otherwise they wouldn't be popular. And so you meet a false teacher. Well, they're so nice. Their grandkids came in. It's bounced on their knee. They deny the Trinity, but, oh, man. TD is so nice. Well, hold on a second. Nice has nothing to do with it. and they can influence you with their niceness and cause you to compromise. It's not enough, this is Jen, it's not enough Christians to say, well, we love you anyway. I don't want to be loved anyway. She opined that organized religion is an unsafe place for homosexuals and the allies are needed in religious communities. It's unsafe for people? It's not unsafe. Nobody's getting hurt. They're just being told you need to repent like every other person needs to and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Be careful that you don't become Jen Hatmaker. And speaking of the homosexual issue and irony, can you smell it? This is, delicious irony. Headline, LGBT group complains about an organization that is using the rainbow symbol inspired by the lockdown. Well,
oh no.
How does that feel? In the UK, the rainbow has recently been used as a symbol of solidarity with NHS workers, with many children placing pictures in their windows of their houses, and the gay community is saying, hey, the rainbow is our symbol. Stop it. Well, now you know how it feels.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to Ken Ham's life. Hey, speaking of Ken Ham's life, Joey, would you be kind enough? Would you please take a look at what's going on at the Creation Museum and at the Ark Encounter? Are they opened up yet? Are they doing stuff? Because if they are, if you can get there this summer, because wow, it's a both. You can debate which one is better. They're both incredible. Slightly different reasons for each, but they're both amazing on the educational level and well worth your family's effort. I just don't know what the rules are these days. I hope they're opening up so that they can get back to ministry business and preaching the gospel. Let me know what you find out. All right, Joey. Speaking of the United Kingdom, there's an author there withdrawing from public life. Why? She's been getting threatened by transgender activists. Why? Due to sustained bullying received from within the children's publishing industry for speaking out on gender issues, I am withdrawing from public life as an author for the sake of my mental health. That would be your cancel culture right there. Feeling intimidated yet? You should. That's exactly what's happening. People are losing their jobs, their careers, their livelihoods. They're being slandered. They're being defamed. They're being fired. And it's all to send a little signal to you. Zip it, or you're next. Christian, get ready. You could be the next one who gets canceled. And as long as we're in jolly old England, what do you got for AIG?
Let's go back to Kentucky for a second. Looks like they're open.
Cool. Yep. What? Any rules, restrictions?
Bathing
in Purell before you go into the Ark? That would be kind of a submersive experience.
Yes,
hey,
they have.
I need to send Ken a note. That could be something that they do. Pretend this, it'll be the pagan Purell. It'll be sponsored by Purell. It'll be the pagan Purell experience. They could actually charge extra for this because, let's face it, Purell ain't cheap. But you never have to replace it because it's Purell and it can't get germy. I'm making this up. So you act as a pagan and you hear Noah, a preacher of righteousness, which, by the way, it doesn't state that in Genesis, but 2 Peter does. He was a preacher of righteousness, calling people to repentance. You talk about a failure as a preacher. Nobody listened to him but his family. Into the boat they go. The doors are closing. No doubt people were running to the ark. Let us in, let us in. They weren't repenting. They were scared for their lives. So I think, Ken, if you're listening, long shot, Ken, get yourself a Purell pagan submersive experience where the pagans, before you go onto the ark, you have to swim through the Purell as if you're drowning in the floodwaters, and then you come out and you're clean and you enter the ark. Now, look, I realize it's not theologically sound. It undermines the gospel. But the point is, I think they could make some big bucks on this. It could be the attraction they're looking for. Are there any rules or restrictions?
They've got a whole page just kind of outlining the policies and procedures in place.
Yeah, but please keep up to date on those because they could change any second. As the wind blows. Because that's the way it seems to be these days. United Kingdom has recovered a number of has recorded a record number of abortions in 2019. Congratulations. Procedure was legalized in 1967. According to a recent report, there were 207,000 abortions performed on women living in England and Wales in 2019. That's 207,000 image bearers of God. Name something worse, please. Name something that is more urgent than babies being slaughtered in the wombs of their mother. That's Great Britain. It's far. It's a million a year in America. Globally, we're talking about millions of people dying every single year. In Virginia, huge fines for churches and ministries operating, well, according to beliefs. First offense comes with a fine of up to $50,000. Subsequent offenses come with fines of up to $100,000. For what, you ask? Glad you did. If you make employment decisions based on your employee's actions, which contradict your neighbor's religious beliefs, you could be the target of a lawsuit. Now, this is interesting because the Supreme Court just said in California, you can discriminate. Virginia's saying, no, you can't. Religious schools may be forbidden from only admitting students who align with the school's beliefs. Ministries who offer housing may be forced to combine rooms for men and women. Enjoy that, Liberty University, when it comes to dorms in Virginia. Segregated? Huh. Not if the governor of Virginia has his way. The Virginia law may threaten free speech. People may be forced to refer to customers, employees, and coworkers by pronouns of the opposite sex or even by newly invented pronouns for either sex. The law allows Virginia to hijack health plans. On and on and on it goes. We'll see how all of this shakes out. The Supreme Court voting one thing, the Virginia legislature another thing. No matter how you slice it. Christian, let's be using this time. The window, it doesn't appear to be opening wider. It definitely appears to be closing. Let's take this opportunity, social media while we can, in the public while we can, to proclaim the good news while we can, because people need to hear it. And I am telling you from experience, if that means anything, more than ever, people will give you a hearing. They are truly thinking about life and death issues. It is closer to the surface than any time I can remember. And so if you have been too afraid to witness and share your faith for fear that it could be embarrassing or you might be rejected, which you still could be, I don't think there's ever been a better time to preach the gospel. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.